First Samuel, and kind of continue looking at Hannah this morning. I know I have, and I hope you have too, as we've studied in the first part of this first chapter of the book of First Samuel, studied on the subject of Hannah and looked at her, her life, her prayer, looked at some of the things that she could definitely help us with in principles that she established. And I think we can learn some tremendous, tremendous things from her. So we want to kind of continue that. But I want to read 1 Samuel, the first chapter, the 24th verse. It says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped." And he worshiped the Lord there. What I want to kind of, we kind of finished up on this a little bit about the fact that Hannah stayed with the child. And I just kind of want to talk a few moments on that and kind of catch up, and then we'll go on and continue in our study. But if you remember, the Bible says that when she had Samuel, that she did not go with her husband up to the temple for worship, the tabernacle for worship. She stayed with her child and kept him until he was weaned. Now, if you remember, I mentioned that I was riding down the road one day in the car, and there was a preacher on there, and he mentioned the fact, it just kind of really touched me. He said that the word there that means weaned means until he was well dealt with. And I don't know whether that touches your heart or not, but it does mine, because he was saying there was that Hannah trained Samuel until he was well dealt with. I doubt very much that Samuel went to the tabernacle and was trained by Eli, because Eli was corrupt high priest. He had not much of a spiritual life, plus his own two sons were a mess spiritually. So I think it was Hannah's input into Samuel's life that caused him to be the young man that he was. Now, we know the Lord, of course, entered into that, but it takes the training of moms and dads to get that job done. And that early training is so important. So again, I'm not going to try to put a year on it. I think he could have been up 5, 6. I don't know how old he was. Maybe 4, 5, 6. I don't know. I realize I don't know that because the Bible doesn't say that. Tell me how old. But I know the word that's used for youth, he was but a youth, there can be up to 15 years of old. Now, I don't think he was that old, but I'm talking about the word that was used could be anywhere from up to 15 years of old. They use that word. So again, I'm just simply saying Hannah dealt with her son Samuel and trained him and put some things into him. Now, I just kind of wanted to bring that out because, and I more than likely all of you kind of understand this, but motherhood is more than just giving birth. Motherhood is training. And motherhood is such a responsibility. Now, we know being a daddy is too. What we're talking about, though, that most of the training, most of the time, is going to come from the mothers, because the mothers are there with their child to train him on a daily basis. Certainly, the daddy must enter into this training. But the mother is going to be the one that does most of this, and I believe that was true with Hannah. I think we can certainly say here we find that she stayed with her child. Now listen to me. I'm going to make a statement. I'm not trying to be critical or unkind, but this thing of daycare for children is a bunch of baloney. Parents are supposed to take care of their children. And I'll stand on record of that. And I believe it with all of my heart. You can't find in the scripture that it's all right to send them to daycare. It's the parents are supposed to take care of them. And Hannah did this. She stayed right there with her child and taught her child. And he became a prophet of God, became a very wonderful man of God. And one of the, I think, the best judge that Israel ever had was the last judge, which was Samuel. And I believe that he was. And I believe the reason, a lot of the reasons for that was that because of Hannah's training of that child. So I'm just simply saying that. Don't be afraid, folks, to stand up for right. I know we're living in a situation here in America where, you know, we take our children to daycare, and they do, and, you know, and drop them off and leave them a day in and day out and day in and day out. Did you hear the report just came out this week? They said that the daycare children that's not kept by their parents are more unruly. They have more trouble with them. This was a report just not brought out by some Christian organization. This was brought out by a national organization that done a study on this. And he said that the children that stays with their parents are so much better and handle themselves so much better and act so much better than those who are sent to daycare. Well, folks, God said that a long time ago. He didn't put it in those words, but he said that a long time ago. That's why he gave parents to children. And so you can't get around that thing. We can make excuses and we can say, well, we had to do this, we had to do, no. We didn't have to do it unless it was a situation where some mama maybe was left alone. And that's very unusual. I mean, I'm talking about left alone where there wasn't a mom or dad there. Maybe the daddy died or something like this, and maybe she has to work. I don't know. I'm just saying, boy, you got to keep that family structure the way God intended it. And I'm just saying this to you. That's one of the reasons old Satan has so entered into the family life. He's destroyed the family, and he knows if he can destroy that family life, he can get those kids that's coming up. Amen? So again, I just wanted to kind of mention that. You know, what I thought also when I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, that's not only true for parents, but that's true for churches. You know, when we see that we get the privilege of seeing someone brought to Christ, we have a responsibility. When they're born again, my, how we have a responsibility to help bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. We have a responsibility to follow up on them and help them to grow in the Lord, you see. Church can't just get someone saved and then just forget them. You got to keep in contact with them and work with them and deal with them and help them to grow. And I want to tell you something, just like child raising, that's kind of difficult sometimes. It's difficult to deal with these new converts sometimes. Well, it's difficult sometimes to raise children too, but we got to do it. We got to do it, I believe, because the Lord gives us that responsibility to do that. All right. We find also, I just want to show you real quickly over here in verse 19 of chapter 2. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And I was thinking there, had Hannah certainly didn't, and we already knew she wouldn't forget him, but she still felt a responsibility for that son of hers, and she brought him a coat year by year and took care of him, seen to it that he had, I'm sure, had some clothes and all the things that he needed there. She would bring him up from year to year. And again, that's part of our responsibility as parents to see to the need of the child. I think again, and I'll mention this and then we'll go on in our lesson, but I think, again, we make a big mistake a lot of times not realizing that children can learn spiritual things at a very, very early age. And they need to be started to be trained at a very, very early age. You know, the world today will take their children out and get them in Little League baseball. I mean, out here when they can't hardly swing a bat. And again, I'm going to teach them how to swim or something like that when they're just, I mean, so small, you wouldn't think it's possible for them to do it. Set them in front of a TV and let them soak up that junk from the time they're in diapers. And yet we fail to think that the same child that is learning these other things could not learn spiritual things. Oh, that same child can learn and begin to learn and understand the things of God at a very early age. And I believe that's exactly what happened here with Hannah. I believe Hannah took that child and began to teach that child Samuel spiritual truths from the very, very early age. Okay? All right, we'll just kind of go on now and continue with our study here in First Samuel. But we find, of course, that his mother consecrated him to the Lord. I mean, she gave him over to the Lord and wanted him to serve God for the rest of his life. You got to remember something. When this happened, it was during a time where idolatry was a terrible thing in that land. I mean, the spiritual life of most of Israel at that time was in a horrible condition. Even the priesthood was in a terrible, terrible condition. Eli and his sons, it was a mess. He wasn't doing things right. And yet Hannah, though, stepped forward and basically said, I'm going to raise this child for the glory of God. And I just want to tell you, too, we're in bad shape in America. I really believe that. Spiritually, we're in bad shape. But it can be done, folks. You have a great God who loves you, and a great God to help you raise your children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord, because he's instructed it here in his word. Amen. So don't give up the fact, say the world's just too bad. There's just too much out there. Oh, no, 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 no. And Hannah did it right in the midst of that type of situation, and she raised this child for God's glory. Now you notice in chapter 1, verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. One, you just kind of notice there that when they came, this was an official presentation of Samuel to Eli. From then on, he was going to stay there and be used of God for the rest of his life. He would be trained there, brought up there, and then go out, of course, to be a great prophet of God. But I want you to also notice that we find that Hannah, although back in verse number 11, I think it was, yeah, she had vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I guess the thing that really stuck with me when I read that and then find her coming and fulfilling that. I mean, that vow for Hannah was not just something she was just saying. And I'm afraid if we don't be careful, you know, we can say things sometime but not really have an intention of fulfilling them. But she did. You'll notice that she brought that child after these years. She brought that child and gave him just like she said she was going to do to the Lord. And again, that certainly speaks to my heart, because I think it's saying to me, you know, commitments that we make, we ought to keep. Vows we make, we ought to keep. Should not we give our children to the Lord? Yes, maybe in a different way than what maybe Hannah did. She literally took him to the tabernacle there and let him serve there. And I mean, just actually gave him up. But let me say to you, we make commitments also and say, God, we want you to have this child, but keep him in America. But Lord, don't make him do this or don't make him do that. Well, we got to be careful about that. When we give it over to the God, we just say, you know what? God, you know best. And I'm willing to give him or her to the Lord to do whatever you want him to do or her to do. Amen. You see, and you find here, that's exactly what Hannah did. She just came and she fulfilled the vow she had made. Now she came and presented him unto Eli there at the tabernacle, and she followed through with that. Now, I might mention just a moment that all dedications cost something. Now, I realize the greatest cost maybe that you and I would say that Hannah gave up was giving up Samuel. And I think that certainly would be a difficult thing to take your child and say, here he is. He's going to live here here in the tabernacle with you, Eli. I think that would have been a difficult thing. But there's, I guess the principle I'm trying to say also is there's a cost. If you notice, she brought a bullock, and she said with her three bullocks, and one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him. Let me say, in all dedications, there is a cost to be paid. I think Hannah certainly brought these things and gave these things as a dedication, a time of presentation and dedication of Samuel. But you also notice that it cost her son. But let me say this also, it cost Samuel his whole life. Now you say, well, that was okay. He was chosen for that. Folks, listen to me. To a person who dedicates themselves to God's purpose in life for God's service gives up all worldly desires and what he might wanted to do in life or she might want to do in life. And I think every one of us probably has some dreams. We have some desires. Samuel gave those up to be a prophet of God. Amen. So it's the cost there. And I've seen people, I really have, and bless their heart, I'm not picking on, but I've seen people get so excited about, yeah, I want to serve God for the rest of my life. And then they find out that there's a great cost to that. And pretty soon, they're not serving God for the rest of their life. See, you've got to be so careful when you make a vow, when you decide that God wants you. You got to remember, you know what you got to do? You just got to give up the old life. You got to decide, you got a new direction to go, and you can't choose the old life. You got a new direction, and there's a cost in that. It cost some people, and I realize you've probably read stories of people. It cost some people fortunes to serve God. I mean, they were people who was well off and who was going to make a lot of money, but they turned their back on that and went to serve the true and living God. There's a lot of times when you turn to serve God, you lose friendships. There's time, of course, and with him, he not only lost all some of those things, but sometimes you just lose your whole life. Now, it's okay. I'm not picking on that. I'm just simply saying your whole life has to be given over to God's purpose for you, and you really cannot do anything else but that. And again, I'm just saying to you folks that there is a cost in dedication. Yes, Hannah gave up her son. That must have been difficult. But Samuel gave up his whole life, dedicated himself unto God, and gave up his life to do the bidding of the Lord. Not only that, if you'll notice, and I'll read verse 26 and verse 27, it says, "And she said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." I kind of laughed when I read this, because she was telling him that, hey, I'm the woman that stood here and prayed that time, and Eli, and knowing Eli was up there quite a few years, Eli probably forgot who it was. She was identifying herself to him, said, you know, Eli, I'm the one that came and prayed, and remember, she was reminding him. Sometimes I have to be reminded. Amen. It wasn't very long ago I was out visitation and I knocked on this door and talked to them. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, you baptized me. Oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I did. I guess I did. I got thought back. I did. But I'd forgot it. I'd baptized him. I'd led him to the Lord. I mean, you know, maybe you're not supposed to forget those kind of things. But years go by And some of those things, you know, you forget, or I do. Maybe it's something affliction I'm getting here, but they tell me when you get a little older, you know, you have a tendency sometimes to forget things, and I have a tendency sometimes to forget those things. Well, I have a feeling that Eli probably didn't remember. I mean, I think he remembered the situation, but he probably didn't look at her and say, well, yeah, that's that woman that prayed. So she was reminding him that I'm the one that was praying. I'm the one that asked for a child. And so she was reminding him of that. Another thing that I was thinking of here, as I look at Hannah and look at what she's doing here, I'm reminded that she not only, and we'll talk about her prayer in just a moment, but she not only prayed for a child, but she remembered to go back and give thanksgiving to God after she got it. Not only did she go back and present him to where she said she would, but she didn't forget to go back and say, God, thank you, and give God the glory. And in fact, the Bible speaks about rejoicing in the Lord, as we'll talk about here in a moment. But she said, you know what? She said, I have given him, I have lent him. And verse 28 says that, therefore also as I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So we find that she lent him, and we'll kind of talk about that in a moment or two, but she gave him basically unto the Lord's service, and it was a permanent gift. It wasn't something she was going to take back. She gave him for the rest of his life. She said, Lord, he's yours. And when you talk about that word lent there, it doesn't just mean like me and you would think, Brother Brewer, I'm going to lend you something and tomorrow you can give it back to me. It wasn't that word. And basically what it means is this: I'm going to give back to you that which you gave to me. It was God that gave it. She was giving back something that God already had given to her. Now, boy, there's a whole sermon in that. Folks, do you understand that there is nothing you and I have that God didn't give us? So, see, the problem is we want to claim it as ours. That precious child sitting on that daddy's lap back there, God gave that child to him. And that's where it come from. You see, it comes from God. All of our children, they're not maybe here in the services, but our children, your grandchildren, God gave them to us. And let me say, if you have any material blessing, God gave it to you. Amen? See, we have problem with that because we think if it's ours, we can just do with it whatever we want to do with it. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. We must get God's permission because he's the one that gave it to us. It belongs to him. Amen? In fact, let me look here. Genesis, the 28th chapter of Genesis. I want to show you something. And of course, this is Jacob, and I won't read a lengthy scripture reading on it, but look at verse 22. He says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and if all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. There's a great principle there. What Jacob was saying to God is, God, anything I have, I understand that you're the one that gave it to me. And anything that I give back to you is because you gave it to me, and I'm just returning some of it to you. When a person gives his tithes and his offerings, he's not giving something that really is his. It was given unto him of the Lord, and we're to be stewards over it. And so what he's saying is, you give back to me part of that which I've already given to you. And so again, Hannah was teaching us a tremendous, tremendous truth here. You see, she wasn't saying, okay, I'll just lend him to you for a little while here. No, I'm giving you Samuel, my son, I'm giving you him because you first gave him to me. He really belongs to you anyway. I'm just giving him back to you, you see. And that's true of just about everything, in, I would say everything in our life that God has given us. He gave it to us, folks. Amen? I mean, boy, if you're sitting there and saying to yourself, oh, I made that, I belongs, oh, boy, you don't understand the principles of the Word of God. Because, no, you didn't. You may have, God allowed you to work and do all these things, but He's the one provided it. Amen? He's the one that it belongs to. So, again, there's some good principles that I believe that God helps us here as we look at the life of Hannah and Samuel. And we find also, as I mentioned earlier, and I'm just going to re-mention it once again, you notice this life of consecration started very, very early. Started at a very, very early age. There's a statement that the Catholic Church makes is this: if you'll give me a child until he's 7 or 8, I can't remember which it is, maybe it's seven years old, he'll be a Catholic forever. Well, now you know what we ought to say. You give that child to me, and I'll train him where he'll love God and serve God forever. And I believe that much of that happens in the first 7 or 8 years of life. Amen? Certainly, the training is continued. But boy, the principles are set forth at a very, very early age. Amen? So I'm just trying to show you, Hannah understood that. She understood that. I mean, I don't know what degree she understood it, but she understood it enough to say, I'm going to train him. I'm going to get him ready. As he goes to the service there at the tabernacle, I'm going to have him ready. And once again, we'll just go back just a moment. We can go and we can make them, we can teach them how to play ball. I mean, before they're even hardly old enough to hardly walk around, teach them how to do other things, you know, and worldly things and all these other things. And yet we won't train them about the things of God. Whew. It's amazing, isn't it? It really is. All right. And then in verse 20, chapter 2, I want to look there. Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give the seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I just kind of wanted to show you there that, yes, Hannah gave up some things. She gave up a child. But did you notice God gave her back 5 more? God gave her 5 children after this. You see, you're not and I'm not going to owe God. He won't allow that. God is so gracious and so good. You see, what he done was, he said, yes, you gave your son. Now you go on home and you'll have other children. And they went home and had 5 more children. So Hannah, I think, kept pretty busy. Don't you? You mamas, I know, are shaking your head. Yeah, 5 children. I think she was a pretty busy girl. But, you know, she gave unto the Lord Samuel. And God returned unto her such a blessing and gave her 5 more children. I realize a lot of the world don't believe children are a blessing anymore, but they are. They're a heritage of the Lord. And they are a blessing. And so I know the world, the way they look at it and all that, but we don't look at it that way, do we? We know they're blessings of God, and we're grateful for them. And certainly Hannah, I believe, was so grateful for what God done for her. He gave her five more children, you see. Again, just want to mention to you, you won't outgive God in any respect. I don't care what it is you give to God, you won't outgive him. Never will. Have you ever tried to prove it? I have. I didn't mean I doubted God, but one Christmas time, I took it. I said, God, whatever you give me at Christmas, every dime of it, I'm going to return it to the poor. He liked to wore me out. He gave to me, and I'd go and I'd help the poor with it. I'd buy all kinds of groceries and everything. it wouldn't be another day, he'd give me more money. I spent, I don't know how much time during that. I was glad Christmas season was over. I'm serious. I did. I said, I don't care what it is. Whatever you give me, it's going to go. I don't care. Every dime is going to go. And I did that. And he just kept right up until Christmas Eve. I'm serious about that. Every dime he gave me. And he just brought money in from different places for me and just give it to me. And I'd take it and I'd go find some poor folk or some family that had some needs and I'd give it to them. It wouldn't be a day or so. I'd go run the same thing. I'm just saying to you, you're not going to outgive God. Yeah, I'm not trying to say that's what you ought to run out and do. I'm just saying God laid that on my heart. I know he did. To prove himself to me. I'm just simply saying to you, you're not going to outgive God. Some people are so scared to give to God and go the extra mile and give an extra abundance to God. They're so scared of that, you won't outgive him. You can't. Amen? As God leads you, you ought to learn how to give. And there's so many ways that God allows us to give. All right, we talk about here Hannah's prayer, and I want to take just a little bit of time here. If you notice in chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." And he said, "Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." And I'm going to stop there for sake of time, but I want to show you some things. She was glad for what God did. If you'll notice in there, it says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." And when I thought of that, I thought maybe if I had wrote that, certainly I didn't. I can't write scripture, but if I'd wrote that, if a human being wrote it, he'd said, "My heart rejoices in Samuel for giving me Samuel." Well, she didn't say that. She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, who gave me Samuel," basically is what she's saying. It was God that gave Samuel to me, you see. And her rejoicing here was in the Lord. I think Paul understood this when he wrote to the church at Philippi, when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He understood that truth. The Bible tells us in Psalms 85:6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" What is the purpose of revival? So that we'll feel good? Oh no, that we'll rejoice in God and what God is doing. See, we need revival today, folks. Yes, we need revival. I believe with all my heart. We need a revival all across this land. We need revival right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've told you that. I believe that with all my heart. I'm talking about old Holy Spirit-filled revival that just gets a hold of God's heart, the hearts of God's people, and stirs them. You see, I believe that with all of my heart. Why? So we can be something? Oh, no, no, no. So we rejoice in the Lord for what he's done, what he's doing, you see. And that's exactly what Hannah did. She came back rejoicing in the Lord. She wasn't just rejoicing in Samuel, that little baby that God had given her. She was rejoicing in the Lord and what God had done, you see. What a tremendous truth that is. All right, we need to close, and we'll do that at this time. We'll come back to that next week.